I would like to read something before we go this morning, and I guess I should say thank you to those of you staff in particular who have served and cleaned and joyfully and cheerfully. It's been a real blessing to see the way the staff has worked with one another. Sometimes it's not that way, even in Pilgrim Camp. It's not always joy unspeakable and full of glory. Sometimes it's nobody knows the troubles I've seen, but it's been joy unspeakable, and in every department, at least to what I can understand, and I've heard from some of the higher ups in the kitchen, and they said to me also, and I didn't ask, I didn't say how they doing, would you grade them from a 1 to 10, what would you give the kitchen crew, what would you give the boys or the waitresses? Nobody, I didn't ask that, but it was just volunteered to me. This is a great staff. They're all so good. They all work together so well. There's so much cooperation, and it's just been great. It has been. It has been. And it's been that way even among the guests. Some of you, you sit around your table and you speak Chinese. But you can talk English, and you do, and that's fine that you speak Chinese, because not everybody is English as their first language. And some of you speak another language. When I go back home, oh man, it's like the United Nations in our church. And I don't know what half the people say half the time. One guy, he speaks such broken English. A great guy, and I love the guy with all my heart. Well, I love the guy a lot. And yet, I don't know what he says. Every time he talks to me, I have to say, what? And sometimes on the second go around, I get it, and then I'm able to. And sometimes I don't get it, but I just say, yeah, yeah. 'Cause I hope so. And he comes from Guatemala. And so his first language is Spanish. And one day I was sitting at a table with some Spanish people from our church. And he was with us, and he went up to get some. We were eating breakfast together. He went up to get some more breakfast. And I said to this Spanish couple that was there that speak his language, I said, you know, I don't understand when he speaks in English. I have a hard time understanding his English. And this woman who speaks Spanish said to me, I have a hard time understanding his Spanish. It's really not that good. And so I thought, man, this guy's in no man's land. He doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak Spanish. We have another brother who I love with all my heart in the church. And I don't know how to sing correctly, page 197 in our book. And one time I actually started singing the chorus, and I sang it the way he always sings it. That's the chorus, not by might, not by power. But he never sings it that way. It's his favorite song, and so he starts it often. And all of a sudden I hear starting out, no by might, no by power, by my spirit. And one time in the meeting I actually started, no by might. I'm learning to speak everybody's language. And we're doing okay. We're doing okay. There are black people, there are white people. There are a lot of mixed colored kind of people from all different races and backgrounds. And I tried to count up once all the nationalities, and 20 something, or from countries of origin. Anybody from America in this church? Well, there are some. There are some. And then when Elizabeth married Isaac, I was so thankful we finally had an Asian person in the church. Because that's what we didn't have. So I had to go to California to find all the Asians. I don't think there are anybody but Asians in California. But I found them out there. And then Joy and Chun Le and Susanna came and said, well, now we got an Asian contingency, a group. And we're working on it. We'll try to find some more someplace. And I should say they're working on it. And they're doing pretty well, but most of those that they work with speak Chinese only, and so it's better for them to go to a Chinese church. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because that body that we talked about, that body that was the corpse, that body is made up of all different kinds of people. It's not just one kind or another kind or this, that, or this group of people. It's not just young and it's not just old. It's not just black and it's not just white. It's not just rich and or poor. It's not just intellectuals or commoners that don't have an education at all. The body of Christ is everybody that belongs to Jesus. It really doesn't matter who you are. And When our sister shared with us last night how thankful she was that we accepted Joni. Now, if you knew Joni, I mean, anybody would accept Joni. I mean, you couldn't help but accept Joni. But it's not just that. It's not just because she's nice and sweet and lovely and all the rest. But she's my sister. She's in that same body that I'm in. She belongs together with us, and we together with her. And when one member of the body suffers, so does the rest of the body. And when one member of the body rejoices, so does the rest of the body. One time I got sick and I wound up in the hospital. I missed 2 years of camp. It happened 2 different years within the last 10 years, and it was always during the summertime, right before camp. And one time I couldn't go out to California to their conference in September. I couldn't be here at camp in August. You know, I didn't like that. But there was blessing even in that, and good did result from that. And I'm not going to tell you all the good that happened, but there was a lot of good stuff happening, not to me, but to our church and in our church. But one time I had a pulmonary emboli, and I wound up in the hospital with this blood clot in my lung. And I felt fine, and I wanted to go. And the doctor said, you got to realize that this is serious. It could kill you. And, you know, don't think you're going anyplace so quick. And so, okay. I when he told me that, I just laid still. I want to move. And I then heard through the grapevine that word got out as soon as I was taken to the hospital, soon after, whatever, that day. Somebody let Brother Yu know out in California. Brother Yu's the pastor of a lot of these kids and staff members and these women that are here. And Brother Yu found out. He was just himself on his way back from traveling and was on his way back from the airport. And they told me he went to church. He didn't go home. But he heard that I was sick, that I was in the hospital. He went to his church to pray for me. Now, why would he want to do that? I don't even converse very much with Brother Yu because he speaks Chinese primarily. And he's a special man and important and has a lot of things to take care of. And so even at the conferences, he's very busy in ministry. Why would he consider doing that for me? Well, it's because we're in that same body. And there are ties, there are connections when you belong to the body of Christ that sometimes they might even surpass and sometimes even far surpass your blood relatives. Sometimes those ties, because we have the same Father, we belong together in that same body. And when we're in that same body of Christ, we love one another. We bear one another's burdens. We rejoice and we weep together. And that's a tremendous thing. I've not traveled extensively, but wherever I've gone, I've gone to countries where I didn't speak a word of their language. I wound up in Romania one time, in Hungary. I don't speak Romanian or Hungarian. I didn't know what was going on. And the man that I was with, he knew Hungarian and Romanian and all these languages. He was born in Romania. And I was just lost. I got off the plane, and it was so foreign to me. When you get off the plane, you know, in the Caribbean, it's okay. It's not very foreign because everybody speaks English, or if you go to England or whatever. But I was in another world in more ways than one. And so I went to the home I was staying in, and we had meals together, a couple meals together. I didn't know what they were talking about around the table. Every once in a while, they clued me in as to what was being said. And I remember thinking, you know, why did I ever do this? Why am I here in this place? And I don't know. I feel lost. And then we went to church at night. And they began to sing and to praise the Lord. And it just felt as if something just drew us all together, like we were just one. I never learned Romanian. I never learned Hungarian. But we were one. We did a lot of... I remember when I left that group, the men that came and lined up to say goodbye, we did a lot of this too. We were one. we felt that we were one, because we belong to that one Spirit of God. And only the Lord could do that. That is another evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, where he breaks down all those middle walls of partition between Jews and Gentiles, between Chinese and Caucasians, between black and white, Latinos and Hispanics and Chinese. When those middle walls can be broken down between people, young and old. Oh, thank God that his Spirit just melts away all those divisions and differences, and we become one body, one in Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, he writes this, sixth chapter, if you have a Bible. Just let me read to you one verse. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. He's just said to them, don't get weary in well-doing, because in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Keep on keeping on. Don't stop. Keep at it. What you sow, you're going to reap. So to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. So to the spirit, you reap life everlasting. Keep going. And then right after that, he says, therefore, because of that, you don't want to stop. You want to keep on keeping on. As we have opportunity. Well, we're all going to have opportunity. I believe every day, every single day, we have opportunity. Opportunity knocks. Let us do good to all people. Now here's what I thought of. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Do good to everybody. Do good to as many people as you possibly can do good to. Everybody, anybody, heathens, co-workers, on the job, at school. Do good as you have opportunity to do good. Do good to everybody. But Paul closes that. He says, especially you got to consider and remember to do good to those that are in your body, that are in that same family of God that you belong to. Go out of your way to do good to them. Maybe even think of some inventive ways to do good one to another so that you can help the body, because every member of the body is not the same. Some members of the body, I see some of you trying to stand up after meeting. It's like a standing joke in Ozone Park in church. After prayer meeting, I get down for prayer meeting because I know I'm going to be there for a while. But oftentimes I just sit, and it's not because I feel like sitting. Once you get down there, it's hard getting up. Before you get up, you try to think of what else do I need to do while I'm down here before I get up. Tie my shoes? Do I need to pick something up off the ground? Because getting up is not the easiest. And Chun Li would know this. He's there on Monday nights. He's one that can, boom, he just jumps right up. And he goes around, he and this guy named Carlos go around picking everybody else up off the floor. They pick Frank up, and we pick Brother George up, and we pick everybody up off the lane there on the floor. And Brother Frank, he's thankful for the pole that's right next to him that he can shimmy up and help himself get up. But, you get weak. Maybe your knees are weak, or maybe some other member of your body is weak. And especially to those that are in your body, you want to support that weak spot in your body. You want to help that weak spot. And so you do what you can, whatever you possibly can do, to come to the aid of that member, that part of the body. It doesn't matter if you didn't know them since birth. It doesn't matter if they don't speak English. It doesn't matter if they're black or white or whatever they may be. They're in the body, and we have a godly concern. Now, who gives us that godly concern for people that are so different than us? How can we get along with people that aren't like us, don't look like, talk like, act like, whatever? How can we get along with people that eat what you people eat? I'll never understand. And what those Guyanese people in our church eat, I will never understand that either. And they could keep their curried goat, and I'll tell them to their face. I don't eat that stuff. Well, that's okay. It doesn't matter. They're different. Their culture's different. Their backgrounds are different. I don't eat snake eyes. No matter how much of a delicacy the Chinese think it might be, I ain't eating a snake eye or a lot of other stuff that you might try to feed me. And, oh, Brother Ernie, you have to try this. This is special. what is it? It's a black egg. It's got a half raw chicken in there. And you eat that thing and you'll really... No! No! I was in Taiwan once and they took the plate off, the cover off for the meal. Dear Lord, forgive them and forgive me and everybody else involved. But there was a chicken with its head looking at me. The one eye was... And I'm telling you, I think that one eye winked. I'm winking back at that thing and I looked at that chicken and... And they were eating the meal. I was eating some of whatever I could stomach. And then I said to the only guy that could speak English at my table, the guy translated for me. I said, Brother Ho, did they eat the head? And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. And he took his chopsticks and he picked up the head and he took a big bite, and I guess it was the brains, if that's what the chickens have in their head. The brain went and squirting out. Oh, that's enough. I don't want to see any more. Differences. I love Brother Ho. Even though he eats chicken heads, I can still love him. I need to. He's in the body. And so forget about all the differences. Forget about all whatever you've come from and what nation and country you're born in, and whether you're an ABC or whether you're a real genuine version of Chinese, whatever it might be, it doesn't make a difference. If we're in the body, we have that love, especially to those that are in the household of faith. We're interested in having unity in the members of the body. Unity, not uniformity. We don't all look the same, act the same, eat the same, talk the same, walk the same way. We don't all have uniforms on that make us the same group of people. But we want to have a common goal. That's what the unity is. We have a common goal. We have a common desire. We have common interests. We've all been washed in the blood of our Father, Son, Jesus Christ, and He's brought us into that family, and now our desires are all the same. And you expressed it very well last night, that we want more of Jesus. We want to know Him better. We want to grow up into His likeness. Some are starting in the body. Others have matured in the body. But the immature ones are going to be dragged along and helped by the mature ones. And we're going to help one another, serve one another. The weak ones are going to be made strong by everybody holding the head of the body and letting the Spirit of God flow through us to every member of the body of Christ. Until we achieve complete unity in that body. There's a football coach, his name is Tony Dungy. I don't think he coaches anymore, now he's an analyst. And you can still see him on NFL football programs or whatever. And he's a good man, a godly man. And when he was coaching the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he said, and this is in his book, he wrote in his book, less talent contributing to the unity of the team is more important than greater talent with less unity. You understand that? Less talent contributing to the unity of the team is more important than someone who has great, great talent but not interested in unity. They want to be the MVP. They want to be the star. So give me the ball and don't think you're ever going to see it again, because I want my stats to be way up there. I don't care about you. I don't really care about winning or losing. It's all about me. It's my contract year. I got to have a good contract next year. And so my stats have to reflect that I'm... Tony Dungy said, I'd rather have a whole bunch of marginal people, just common people. Oh, good football players, evidently. I mean, you have to be to play professional. But I'd rather have just a group with less talent or a person with less talent than the one that wants to hog everything and be the star of the show. Unity. Unity. If you look at any football team, it's not hard to tell that there's diversity. There's not uniformity. The offensive lineman looks like Brother Tom. Big, strong. Muscular. He's trying to play the part now. Look like Brother Tom. And not everybody's a defensive lineman. You try to send that guy on run a pass pattern, he wouldn't be able to. All thumbs. Couldn't catch the ball. But you got those other tight ends or wide receivers that do that. Then you got a guy called a running back or a quarterback. And then you got this little puny guy like me. He's the punter. I mean, he comes out just to kick the ball. I mean, if he sees anybody coming at him, he goes like this. He doesn't want anything. But they're all contributing to one common purpose. We want to win. We want to win the game. We want to win the Super Bowl. We want to win. We don't want to lose. And so we're willing to work together. We're willing to do our part, and some of it is really grunt work. Those offensive linemen, I hope you know what I'm talking about. Some of you maybe don't. But those guys that have to block and make sure the quarterback's protected from these defensive people that are trying to kill him and get to him, they don't get much glory. They don't get much applause or credit. Nobody says, oh, did you see that block? That was wonderful. That was beautiful. Nobody applauds for that. They applaud for the running back that ran through the hole created by the offensive lineman. I mean, you could have driven a truck through it, could have walked through it, but the offensive line or the running back gets all the credit. But that doesn't really bother the team spirit because we're working together. As long as we get the touchdown, as long as we achieve the goal, you can do that in life, in anything in life. Okay, instruments. You play instruments. Some of you do. Most of you maybe do. Not every instrument is a violin. Thank God it's not. Now, Mariana plays a violin, and thank God she does. Brother Tom plays a French horn. Well, he plays out a French horn. And thank God he does. It's different than what Brother Bob has in the back there and different than an organ and a piano. Very different instruments, but all contributing to the common good, the common whole. If you flip over just to Ephesians chapter 4, let me just read in closing some verses from Ephesians 4. As a prisoner of the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with each other in love. Well, that'll help unity a whole lot. Bearing with each other in love. Verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I think 7 times in those couple of verses you read one, 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 one. God wants us to be one. And he says here, you need to endeavor, make every effort, the NIV says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Apparently, as Brother Bob said, there is an enemy that would like to disrupt the unity in that body. The enemy would like to create havoc in that body and cause there to be schisms or divisions in that body. The enemy would love to make the Chinese people think that they're just a Chinese body and they have nothing to do with us, and we can look down on them or look down on that particular group or those particular, they're not smart, they don't have the education that we have. So we look down our pharisaical noses at them, and it creates a division, a schism. And the Bible here says, Paul says to the Ephesians, he says, make every effort that you don't allow there to be any divisions in that body. We're interested in unity in the body of Christ, and the enemy would like to introduce into that body something. Put an idea in your head or in your heart, some little bitterness, some little thing that your petty peeve, and they didn't do it your way. And sometimes they're such small, small things. She didn't say hello to me. She walked right by me after the service. Well, maybe she was thinking about her dying son in the hospital and didn't think about shaking your hand, or something else maybe preoccupied her. Oh, no, she has an attitude. I see that. I don't like her either. And right away, when there's a schism and when there's not unity, it hinders what God wants to do. And the enemy is all about disruption. He's all about creating havoc. And when we can come together, and that's why I said at the beginning, it just seems that maybe camp these weeks, there's been that unity. There's been that harmony and that oneness. We've been able to love one another with a pure heart fervently. We've been able to share with and care for one another, encourage one another in whatever ways that we can. And when we are able to do that, 133rd Psalm says there God could command his blessing. And there God can pour out his Spirit. And there God can work. There's a lot more that we could say, but we don't have a lot of time to say it. But endeavor by the grace of God to keep. You know, we're not told ever in the Bible we're supposed to create unity. You know, Brother Dan doesn't stand up here as staff coordinator and say, you know, now guys, we just all got to get along. Do your best, get along with everybody. We're all in the same church, so, you know, let's all be happy together. And be happy even if you're not. Make believe you're happy. Let's get happy together and let's just join together as best we can and give it your best shot. The Bible doesn't ever tell us to do that. That's what the Kiwanis Club does. That may be what the school group does. That's maybe what somebody else does. But God doesn't say that. God says, I've created in my body, I've created unity. Now, what I want you to do is, I don't want you to try to make it happen. I want you to preserve it. I've already created that harmony and that oneness in my body. Now, what you need to do is be careful that you maintain, that you don't allow any bitterness or any such thing to get in the way. Preserve the unity of the Spirit that's in that body of Christ. I don't know how many of you like this stuff. See, there's the difference in culture. I hold this up and I hear soy sauce. Now, this is mayo. I'm not a mayo guy myself. I'm not too much into mayo. It's good sometimes. So why did I bring mayo? Because I wanted to use it this morning to show you my mayo. You know, I don't like mayo too much, but I do know it was invented in 1756. It was invented by a French. he may have been fresh too, I don't know. But he was French, I know that much, a French chef. And he was preparing something, this French chef, for the Duke, who had just won a battle and they wanted to have a victory celebration. So he was trying to concoct a new sauce that he could use. And what he came up with, and he didn't know the name of it when he made it, but it was mayonnaise. But there's one interesting thing to me about mayonnaise. I'd give this to you, Rachel, but you might... I don't want you to do that here. It might squirt all over. And I'm about to do that. That's why I'm going to stop playing with it. But the ingredients of mayonnaise, do you know what the ingredients are? You know, they list the ingredients, how much of it is in it. That's the ingredient number one. If it's the most, and then down from there. You know what the first thing on this is? Ingredients. No. Yeah, oil. Soybean oil. Number one. Soybean oil. You know what number two is? No. Water. Now, what do you know about oil and water? Oil and water don't like each other. Oh, you bring oil and water to church on Sunday morning and you shake it up real good and they tolerate each other and for a little while, but then the oil goes to the top and the water goes to the bottom because oil and water don't get along. They really don't like each other. So, I don't know, every time I've opened up a package of mayonnaise, I haven't found that there's oil on top and then some water. I don't have to go like this 10 times to mix it before I open it. Because the third ingredient, now you know what it is because I've heard it for the first and the second. Now's the time to say eggs. So how did this French guy know? Well, he was playing around in his kitchen and he figured out that if you put eggs in with the oil and the water, the eggs act as an emulsifier. That's just a big word for it. It helps them to get along better. And so you introduce a little egg into that water and oil, and all of a sudden you find the water saying to the egg, come here, you're okay, I like you too. And you find the water to the oil, say, come on, we can get along. We don't have to worry about this anymore. We've got an emulsifier that has somehow or other just pulled us together. And we can hang out together. We can dwell together. We can live together. We can be mayo if we just allow ourselves to get along. The Holy Spirit's like an emulsifier. The Holy Spirit is what helps us. He helps us get along. Where we couldn't ordinarily, you know, you got a bunch of disciples and a couple of them. One was a zealot, a Jewish zealot. You know who Jewish zealots hated? Everybody. Particularly, who did they hate? Jewish zealots. They were big on Jews. They were Jews or bust. We don't tolerate anybody else but Jews, and we're for the Jewish cause and the Jewish nation. We want white power or black power or Latino power or whatever power we want. And the zealots were back there yelling, zealot power. And they particularly hated who, Frank? Why did they hate tax collectors so much? Because tax collectors were Jews that were really turncoats. They would rob their own people to pad their own pockets and make rich the Roman government. Oh, they hated each other. Talk about oil and vinegar. Talk about can't get along with one another. Tax collectors and Jews, especially zealots. And then Jesus comes along and he says, okay, let's see. Father, who do you want me to pick as my disciples? Who could? You really want that guy? Okay. I'll pick, was it James the Zealot? James the Zealot. Okay, so we got a zealot on board. He's got not much really wrong with Peter, James, Andrew, and John. They're fishermen. They're okay. Well, uh-oh. Uh-oh, we got a problem. Not all's kosher. We got a problem. We got this guy named Matthew. I hate that guy. I couldn't stomach him when I saw him sitting by that tax booth collecting taxes. I felt like killing him a number of times, and I would have if I could have, but there were Roman soldiers nearby. And Jesus, I got to think it's a sense of humor. Or maybe it's just a display of what God can do. Come on, zealot. Come on, Matthew. Follow me and get into the body. And then love one another and serve one another. Oh, how could they do that? How could they do that? They needed an emulsifier. They needed something, someone that could wipe out their differences, their strong opinions of right and wrong and all the past. And the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. As we read, they were in one accord, in one place. And I don't think it's, I don't know if it's true, but somebody said it took 10 days. It took 10 days for those disciples to finally get together in one accord so God could pour out his Spirit. They're always arguing who to be the greatest. I should be the greatest. I want to be the greatest. Which one should lead the pack? And it took 10 days maybe. It took a long time before they were able to say, you know what? I don't care who leads the pack. I'm in the body. I don't care who belongs that this place or that place. Let's just let God be God. And let's just thank him that we take our place in the body. And let's do the best we can to help each other along. And when they came around to that point in their experience, God filled them all with the Holy Spirit. And meshed and melded that group together as one. And so he has been doing that ever since the early church. And there is a church, and there's only one. And there is one Lord, and there's one faith, and there's one baptism, and we belong together. Jesus said in John 17, when he prayed for those that would believe on him, he prayed, Father, do you know what he prayed? Father, I pray that all of these who you will give me, who will believe on me through the word the disciples will preach. Father, I pray that they all will be one, just like you and I are one. Is the Lord answering that prayer? Whose neck do you have? Who would you rather strangle than put your arms around and help and love? Who is it that you harbor that thought or that whatever it might be, that bitterness? It's incongruent. It's incongruent with the presence of God in the temple. Something's got to give. And the Lord will put his finger on those things in your life and in your heart. God will deal with you and speak to you. If you really want to press in, if you really want to grow, he's going to show you those things that, well, you've got to learn to overcome here. And love your enemies, not only your friends. You've got to allow me to cause that love to fervently be ablaze in your heart. And that love will cover over a multitude of sins. And that love will bear all things and believe all things and endure all things. And it will never fail. And that love does not keep a record of rights and wrongs. Oh, let me fill you with my love and make you one. And then send you out that the world may know that you are one, and we are one in Christ Jesus. And I'm thankful this morning for the body of Christ, for the family of God. Yes, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So Lord, teach me to love you more, and teach us to love each other. We thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit has been given, and where we can't love them, where it's just so ingrained perhaps in our upbringing. Lord, I've known people that were on the German side in the army in Nazi camps fighting for the Germans, and then they got saved. And all that hatred went away. All that animosity. And vice versa, on the other side, Lord, you just break down all of those strong, really strong differences. And somehow you enable the family of God to love. And it's not an enigma to us as to how or to why. We know it's the Holy Spirit. We know it's your love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And we know when your love is shed abroad, it brings together from all backgrounds and all countries and all different peoples, it brings them together as one. And so help us to fight together as one. Help us to serve together as one. Help us to admonish and exhort and encourage each other. Help us, Lord, to speak the truth in love. Lord, we pray that the body will be well, the body will be whole. And that, Lord, there won't be lack, but that there'll be the supply, Lord, flowing through from one member to the other. And so I thank you this morning, Lord, for everybody here. I thank you for the opportunity that I've had to be here these weeks and to serve these people to the best of my ability. As you give, our talents are few. And they're small, but Lord, we give them to you, and we just trust you to help us. Thank you for those who have prayed throughout this week, have called on you and believed for you to give help to us. And we thank you again for those many prayers that you have answered. And now as at least I leave today, and my wife and others go from these grounds, Lord, go with us. And Lord, those that stay at camp today, Lord, another day of your blessing. We're expecting that for camp. We're expecting you to help us to keep on just loving each other, not to get weary in well-doing, but to reap as we don't faint, and especially those that are of the household of faith. And so, Lord, shed your love abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. For Jesus' sake, we ask it and we thank you for it. Amen. 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 I think some of you know the chorus. Give me that. Okay, some of you I see know it. Now we're going to get the right note. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. And it's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. It's the old time religion. It's the old time religion. It's the old time religion. And it's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Good enough for you? Me and all of us. God bless you. Today at camp, we have potentially a fire tonight. Sister Edith will minister here to us and in the evening meeting, and then to the campfire. Weather permitting, Lord willing, hope we have at least a window of opportunity for you to be able to enjoy that and have some s'mores and fellowship and love everybody. Love everybody at camp today. Figure out a way to do that. Whatever opportunity you have, just love people. We have I shouldn't start again, sorry. We have a guy in the Philippines, Nikki Klein, is a missionary there. And when he comes home to give his missionary reports, he stands in the pulpit and he says, "I don't know, Lord, just send me there to love on people. I just love on people." I think, what's that? What are you talking about? I just love on people. I love on those boys and girls. Well, so love on everybody today. It's the old time religion. God bless you. We're dismissed. Thank you. Thank you.